Today's daf is Matos daf Tes Zayin, daf 16. We are holding on daf Tes Vavam days. We mentioned yesterday that the Machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether Hasra Safik Shema Hasra or Lav Shema Hasra. When you give a Hasra Safik, again, is defined as when you give Hasra to somebody and say, don't do this action, because if you do this action, you're going to get punishment X. Hasra Safik is a situation where even if he does the action you just warned him against, he still might not be chayiv punishment X. There might still be a way that he's going to get out of being chayiv that punishment. That would be defined as hasra suffix. So the question is, that called hasra?
The suffix is in what the person said it was a suffix?
No. It happens to be that because of the nature of that avera, there's still a way that he can do exactly what you told him not to do, and it's still going to be, that he's off the hook, that he's not going to be chayiv. So, for instance, I'll give an example of a case that's not Asra Safik, but the Rishonim wonder why not. The Rishonim wonder why every time you tell a person, you give a person Asra, don't sleep with that Eshes Ish, don't sleep with that married woman, why isn't that Asra Safik? Because after all, there's a concept in Halacha called Afke'in Rabbanu L'Kiddushimineh, that the rabbis can uproot someone's marriage and make it that she was never married. So every time you give someone Asra, don't sleep with that Eshes Ish, because if you do, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. Well, what if he sleeps with that Eshes Ish, but then the rabbis come along and they uproot the Kiddushim? Turns out, she wasn't an Eshes Ish. So he did exactly the action that you told him not to do, but still he's not Chayiv, because it turns out she wasn't an Eshes Ish. So that's what Tosin Gittin, Daf Lamed Gimel, other Rishonim are bothered. Why isn't that Hasra Safik? It happens to not be Hasra Safik, because they assume that you always go with what she is now, what her status is now, and we don't assume that Afki'inu is a likely possibility, but that's the idea. The idea is that even if he follows through with exactly what you're telling him not to do, it still might come out that he's going to be Potter. So we left off on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. We are Va'azdu L'Ta'amayhu, that we're going to show that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are L'Shitasam, that Rabbi Yochanan holds in other places as well that Asra Safik Shema Hasra'a, and Reish Lakish holds elsewhere that Asra Safik is Lo Shema Hasra'a. Va'azdu L'Ta'amayhu D'Itmar, Shvua Sho'ochel Kikazah Yom Va'avar Yom V'lo Achla, if a person takes a Shvua that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today, and the day passes and he does not eat it, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amar Tavayu Einu Loke, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish both say you don't get Malkus in that case. When you take such a Shavua that you're going to eat, and you don't eat, so you violated the Shavua, by not eating it, so they both agree that you're not going to get Malkus. But why aren't you going to get Malkus? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einu Loke, Mishum Davi Lav Shem B'Maisa, V'Kal Lav Shem B'Maisa in Lokan Lav. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, you're not going to get Malkus, because how did you violate that Lav? You violated that Lav by doing nothing. You said you were going to eat it, you didn't do anything. You sat still and didn't eat it. And any lav she'in bo maisa, you're not going to get malchus on. If you look at Rashi on the top, mishum davli lav she'in bo maisa, av mishum hasra safek, lav amiftar, da hasra safek shma hasra. Rabbi Yochanan did not say your pater because it was hasra safek, because Rabbi Yochanan, the shitasa, would hold that even with hasra safek, you can be chayiv. So he has to come up with another reason that you're pater. So he says it's lav she'in bo maisa, nothing to do with hasra safek. Reish lakish amar eino loke, mishum davli hasra safek, Reish Lakish says that it's Hasra Safik, and that's why you're going to be Pater, because anytime you have Hasra Safik, it's not called Hasra, that's not considered to be Hasra. Now Reish Lakish doesn't say Lav Shem B'Maisa. Why doesn't Reish Lakish say Lav Shem B'Maisa? So if you look at Rashi, Avol Mishum Lav Shem B'Maisa Lav Amiftar, the Ksav Lav Shem B'Maisa Lo Kana Lav. Reish Lakish holds that you would get Malkus for a Lav Shein B'Maisa. He doesn't hold of the whole tour of Lav Shein B'Maisa. So there you see Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish arguing whether Hasra Safik is Hasra or is not Hasra. Good, that's the Azdu L'Tamayu. That's the Raya that we see Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue about this same issue elsewhere. V'travayu alibid Rabbi Yehuda. But both of them derive their Shita from a comment, from a statement that Rabbi Yehuda made. D'tanya, v'lo sosir menu ad boker, v'anosim menu ad boker. Right, that a person, there's an Isra in the Torah, you're not allowed to leave over the meat of the Karban beyond its allotted time, and if you do, v'anosim menu ad boker, so the pasuk goes on to say, v'esh t'sof, you have to go and burn the meat of the Karban, the kachim that was left over beyond its time, and that's the pasuk we keep quoting as the classic example of a lav hanitik ha'aseh, because the mitzvah saseh of burning it corrects the lo saseh of leaving it over. But what does Rabbi Yehuda say? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? So the brisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda says, you see, from the fact that the Torah specifically gives you a mitzvah saseh to rectify the problem of the violation of the lo saseh, that's to teach you that you don't get malchus on it, because it's lav hanitik ha'aseh. Lav hanitik ha'aseh, you don't get malchus on. Rabbi Yochanan diyakachi. So Rabbi Yochanan says, ah, why don't you get malchus on this? Only because it's a lav hanitik ha'aseh. So Rabbi Yochanan says, wait a second. Time of the ba'a kasuv. Hello ba'a kasuv. What if the Torah never put a mitzvah saseh after this lo saseh? Makes it sound like you would get malchus on it. But he says, but look at it. Alma asra safik shma asra. Isn't it still asra safik? If why is it asra safik? It's the same reason that the case of the shvua is asra safik. If a person takes a shvua that I'm going to eat this kikar, so that by definition is asra safik, because he makes the zman the entire day. Right, so there's no moment in time where I say, well, if you don't eat it right now, you're going to be in violation. No, he still has the rest of the day, and you don't know whether he's going to eat it the rest of the day. Hasra has to be b'toch de dibur. It has to be that you do it right now, that you do it at this moment. So whenever there's an extended zman that he still has to be able to do it, by definition, it's going to be called a hasra asafek. So by nosar as well, if he has till the end of the night to save himself from the violation of nosar, by definition, it's hasra asafek. Because what are you going to say? If you don't eat it, the basar kachim right now, you're going to be in violation? Not so. He has till he has all day. And you have to do that asra b'toch kedei dibur. So Rabbi Yochanan is medayik, even though this is something that by definition is asra safek, still Rabbi Yehuda makes a point of saying, you know why you don't get malchus over here? Because it's a lav hanitik ha'aseh. Asra safek is not enough of a reason. So the Rabbi Yochanan says, so you see, asra safek is shema asra v'resh lakish dayik hachi, and resh lakish is medayik the following way. Time of the ba'al kasuv, halo ba'al kasuv loka. He makes the same basic diuk, that the only reason you don't get malchus over here is because there's a mitzvah saseh to be menatek the lav, but had it not been a mitzvah saseh, you would still get malchus. But after all, says Rish Lakish, isn't this a lav shema maisa? How does one violate nosar? By doing nothing. You sit still and you let the basar stay overnight. That's a violation of nosar. So Rabbi Yehuda makes it sound that even had the Torah not put a mitzvah saseh after the lo saseh to fix it, you would still get malchus, even though it's a lav shema maisa. I'm a lav shema maisa lokin lav. So you see that you get malchus on a lav shema maisa. So that's the issue. So that's how each one arrives at their opinion. Rabbi Yochanan that asra safik is called asra, and Reish Lakish that a lav shema maisa you do get malchus. Now the obvious problem is the Gemara is going to raise is it's both, right? Both the yukum lechara should work. You should be able to be medayik from Rabbi Yehuda that both a lav shema maisa and hasra safik you get malchus. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish nami havad. According to Reish Lakish, he can't deny the fact that it is in fact Hasra Asafik. What are you going to do about that? It is Hasra Asafik in a case of Nosar. So Savla ki idach tamid of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like a different sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we have a different braisa where Rabbi Yehuda is very clear that Hasra Asafik is lav shmei Hasra, that Hasra Asafik is not called a valid Hasra. The Tanya, because we have a braisa, hika zeh v'chazer v'hika zeh. Let's say a person is not sure who his father is. How are you not sure who your father is? Well, the truth is nobody's absolutely sure who their father is, but we have a chazaka that rov bilos achar abal, that most of the bios that a woman has are with her husband, and therefore you have the right to assume that the man that your mother was married to at the time of your conception is your father. And we assume that 100% fully, to the point that if you were to hit him or curse him, you chayv misa, right? We assume it with absolute certainty, even though it's really only a rov, right? That's one of the sources that has lean on basaruba, is the fact that we punish people for who their father is. So what does it mean you have a safek who your father is? So Rashi says, you're not sure when you were conceived. Your mother was married to two different people at two different times, and you're not sure at which point in time you were conceived. Right? Rashi gives the example, Misha Girish Hasisha Veniseis, a man who divorced his wife, and then she got got remarried, Vyalda, and she gave birth 7 months after the second marriage, Safek ben Tes l'Rishon, Safek ben Zayin l'Achron, and the Gemara always assumes that there are two types of pregnancies, that there are two modes of pregnancy, not stam that there's such a thing as a preemie, because that we probably wouldn't be choshish for. The Gemara, and plus the Gemara assumes if it's a real preemie, if it's an 8 month baby, that it's going to die, that it has no chance, right? So the Gemara assumes there are two modes of pregnancy. There's the 7 month mode and the 9 month mode. There's yoledes l'shiva, which is yoledes l'mukutayin. The Gemara assumes in Maseches Nida that yoledes l'shiva sometimes doesn't even make it the full 7 months and still fine somewhere in the 7th month. And there's yoledes l'tisha, which is any yoledes l'mukutayin, which is always the full 9 months. So there could be up to a 3 month discrepancy between the two types of pregnancies that exist. So if a woman, that's why we have havchana. That's why a woman when she gets divorced, she's not allowed to remarry for 3 months. We have to make sure that she's not pregnant so that we're going to be able to know the ichlus of whatever child there is. We also assume after 3 months, whether it's yoledes l'shiva or yoledes l'tisha, it takes 3 months until the till hukar ubra, until you know that she's pregnant, until she'll know that she's or will know that she's pregnant, until she'll start showing and it will be obvious that she's pregnant. Prior to that point, we assume we don't really know. That's a big discussion. Havchana b'zman hazeh, now that we have pregnancy tests. Because the Gemara says, it was a Gemara in Shabbos or something. The Gemara says, it's not in Shabbos. I don't remember where it is. But the Gemara says, Afilu Yavo Eliyahu, even if Eliyahu Anavi were to come and tell her that you're not pregnant, still you have to wait the 3 months of Havchana. So that's what the post can discuss. Is Afilu Yavo Eliyahu, because, you know, but pregnancy tests are 99.9%. You know, that's even better than Yavo Eliyahu, or is Afilu Yavo Eliyahu the strongest raya? And the Gemara is using it as an expression of it doesn't matter what you know. This is a din that you have to wait 3 months. But anyway, that's the case. The case is you don't know who the guy doesn't know who his father is because his mother didn't wait the full 3 months. So he could have been conceived from the first husband or from the second husband. So what does he do? He kazev v'chazer v'hikazeh. He hits one of the guys who might be his father, and then he goes and he hits the other guy who might be his father. He curses one of the guys who might be his father, and then he curses the other guy who might be his father. Or if he hits them both at the same time, or curses them both at the same time, in all those cases, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Bebas achas chayiv bezachar zepater. Only if he hits them both at the same time is he going to be chayiv with one hasra. If he hits them both betoch kedei dibur of his single hasra, but bezachar zeh is going to be pater. So bottom line is, what does Rish Lakish see from there? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, why are you going to be pater if you hit them both bezachar zeh? Why are you going to be pater? Because hasra safek is lav shmei hasra. The hasra safek was in each case was hasra safek. If I give you hasra, don't hit that guy, he's your father, and you're going to be chayiv misa. Well, if he goes and he hits that guy, it's still only a safek whether he's chayiv misa. And then I'm going to go tell him, don't hit the other guy because he's your father, you're going to be chayiv misa. Well, if he hits that guy, that action is still only a suffix, whether that action is mechayiv misa. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds in another brisa that hasra'a suffix is lav shmei hasra'a. So that's why Rish Lakish says, you're right. Even though from the case of Nosar, you could have made a diuk from Rabbi Yehuda that hasra'a suffix is shmei hasra'a, but nevertheless, there's another statement of Rabbi Yehuda where Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds Hasra Safik as Lav Shmei Hasra, and therefore the only diuk I'm going to make, says Reish Lakish, from the case of Nosar, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds Lav Shein B'maisa Lokin Alav, that you can get Malkus on Lav Shein B'maisa just like you get Malkus on the case of Nosar. Rabbi Yochanan Ami Havadei Lav Shein B'maisa, who, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan make Reish Lakish's diuk from the case of Nosar, namely that it's a Lav Shein B'maisa, and Rabbi Yehuda says the only reason you don't get Malkus for Nosar is because it's Lav Anita Klasei. What about the fact that it's Lav Shein B'maisa, so Reish Lakish had a good raya, isn't that a clear raya, the Lav Shein B'maisa you do get Malkus for? So why does Rabbi Yochanan deny that? He holds like the following that list of rabbis said that Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yosei Glili Kolosa Seisha B'tora Lav Sheish B'maisa Lokin Lav Lav Shein B'maisa Ein Lokin Lav. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda, every Lav in the Torah, only if it's Yesh B'maisa you get Malkus, if it's Ein B'maisa you don't get Malkus, with a couple of exceptions. Chutz Min Anishba U'meimar Or mamir is the way the Yavitz corrects it. Vamekalel is chaver b'shem. That those are the only examples of lav she'ein bo maisa, but you're going to get malchus. Typically, though, lav she'ein bo maisa, you don't get malchus. Lav she'yesh bo maisa, you do get malchus. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's statement. So you're right. From the case of Nosa, I could have been medayik from that Rabbi Yehuda is lav she'ein bo maisa, you do get malchus. But Rabbi Yehuda tells me elsewhere, lav she'ein bo maisa, you don't get malchus. So I paskin like the other quotation of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the obvious problem is we haven't really solved anything. We've just developed the question even further. Because what does Rabbi Yehuda really hold? When Rabbi Yehuda tells me by the case of Nosa, the reason I don't get malchus because lav anitiklas say, that's the same thing as telling me that a lav she'in bo maisa you do get malchus, and it's the same thing as telling me that hasra suffix shma hasra. So Rish Lakish could quote me a source where Rabbi Yehuda holds hasra suffix lo shma hasra, and Rabbi Yochum quote me a source where Rabbi Yehuda holds lav she'in bo maisa is ain lokin alav. But that just creates a stira within Rabbi Yehuda, because by Nosar, he took a pretty clear stance that you would get Malkus for those things. So it just creates a stira. So it says, Marakashad Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. It's a stira within Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what exactly is the stira? Well, it depends if you're Reish Lakish or you're Rabbi Yochanan. Right? If you're Reish Lakish, the stira is that by Nosar, he held that Hasra Safek is Shema Hasra, and elsewhere he held that it's Lav Shema Hasra. And if you're Reish Lakish, it's that by Nosar, he held Lav She'in bo maisa. So if you are Rabbi Yochanan, right? By no suriel zav shein bo maisa, you do get malchus on it, and elsewhere yel zav shein maisa, you don't get malchus on it. So says the Gemara. Okay, let's answer according to each shita. Either Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, if you're working within Reish Lakish, trei tanayi lib Rabbi Yehuda. It's not such a problem because it could be that it's a machlokas tanaim within Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? It's trei tanayi lib Rabbi Yehuda. Now, in general, whenever you have machlokas tanaim about what somebody said, so this we've seen that Rashi and Ksubas daf Nunvavin and Zayin around that area, Rashi and Ksubas says, even though we have a rule throughout all of Shas, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that when you have a machlokas, both are correct. This is the one exception to the rule, Rashi says. When you have a machlokas about what somebody said in a particular case or a particular principle, and they disagree about what somebody said, they disagree, did Rabbi Yehuda say that Hasra Savik Shema Hasra Lo Shema Hasra, he only said one of them, and it's just a machlokas what he said, one of those shitos is wrong, Rashi says. You're not going to say Eilu Veilu Divril Kim Chaim. L'maynaf Kamina, whether you say Eilu Veilu Divril Kim Chaim or you don't say Eilu Veilu Divril Kim Chaim, either way, L'chora, you're going to paskin one way or the other anyway. Once you're paskining a halacha, who cares whether it's whether the shita that we paskin against is divrei elokim chayim or isn't divrei elokim chayim? So Shach always likes to say that divrei elokim chayim means that even if you learn the shita of Beishamai, and we don't paskin like the shita of Beishamai, but when you learn the shita of Beishamai, it's still a kiyum of Talmud Torah. But if you're going to apply that, then you're going to say learning the shita that misquotes Rabbi Yehuda is not even a kiyum of Talmud Torah. It's pretty scary that wouldn't even be a kiyum of Talmud Torah. I mean, it makes sense if it's completely mistaken. Sometimes Rav Shechter points out, sometimes you have svarim like that. You could open up a sefer and the guy didn't know what he was talking about. It was pure narishkeit. So is that a kiyum of Talmud Torah? You're reading pure garbage. It's not a kiyum of Talmud Torah, even though the person writing the sefer thought it was Talmud Torah, but it doesn't make it Talmud Torah. So that might be one nafkamin of Eilu Ve'elu. Another nafkamin of Eilu Ve'elu Divril Kim Chaim is the principle of Eilu Ve'elu Divril Kim Chaim teaches us that you are allowed to use, sometimes in poskim will use what they call a snif lahakel, meaning they'll say, really, the halacha should be one way, but there is this shita that holds the other way, plus there's another shita in the separate machlokes, and they'll put together a whole bunch of different shitos that are nitchala halacha, but it's enough to at least give a little bit more of a reason to be makel. Now, depending how far back it was rejected, it's how strong, you know, that would dictate how strong a sniff it is. For instance, let's say Shulchan Aruch quotes two deis. Yesh Omrim v'yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. So Yesh Omrim v'yesh Omrim. Shulchan Aruch quotes a day that's a Yesh Omrim, then a second day that's v'yesh Omrim. So the rule is that you always paskin like the second Yesh Omrim when the Shulchan Aruch quotes two Yesh Omrims. So what if you want to use the first Yesh Omrim as a Snif LaHakel? So that's a pretty strong Snif LaHakel, because it's even quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't clearly say which one he's paskening like, even though we know the rule. So that would be a very, very strong Snif LaHakel. To take a Shita Namorayim or Tanayim that has been rejected for centuries and centuries and doesn't even make it into Shulchan Aruch, that would be a very weak Snif LaHakel, right? So that's, you have to know each case. But that only works when the shita that's rejected is Eilu Ve'elu Divril Kim Chaim. But if the shita that's rejected is just flat out wrong, right, then it's not even, you can't even use it as a snifla hakel. If let's say you had a posik, you had a machlokas face of Moshe and you know, Minchas Yitzchak or something, and one of them just didn't know the metzius, they were just totally wrong about the facts of the case, and they were passing based on a false premise, so that, I don't know if you'd say and use that as a snifla hakel, right? Mistami, you say if they were just wrong about the facts of the case, you can't say that that's eluvel divrei kimchaim. So anyway, so Reish Lakish says treitanai elibid Rabbi Yehuda. So that's how he deals with the issue of how Rabbi Yehuda can contradict himself in regard to the psak of whether Asra Savik Shema Asra or not Shema Asra.
How does this fit into the Kesef Mishra where we said that Shas is based on not discussing what they said or what they meant?
We said the Kesef Mishnah writes that the reason Amoraim don't argue with Tanaim is not because they weren't authorized to argue with Tanaim, they're plenty authorized, it's that they decided that it was a waste of time for them to argue on Tanaim. But rather their time is better spent trying to figure out what the Tanaim hold. Now, figuring out what the Tanaim hold involves both of these elements, figuring out what they said and what they meant. But they just didn't want to bother arguing on them because they were wrong. If you're going to argue on Tanaim, you're going to end up being wrong most of the time anyway. That's how I was just reading yesterday, Rabbi Feldman in his book, Eye of the Storm, that's how he explains the concept of Das Torah also. He says that that because it's part of his explanation of the concept of Das Torah in the Yeshiva Shevelt, that because the Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim have such a broader perspective. He says it's nothing to do with Ruach HaKodesh or anything like that. He said no one believes that except for maybe a few Chassidish, Chassidim will believe it about the Rebbes or something. But in the standard Haredi Welt, the idea of Das Torah is just that the Chacham is objective. He has nothing to gain by determining a life situation or determining things for the klal, and that he has this broader perspective. So you could sit there and question it and argue it, but you're probably going to be wrong, right? So he says the way Rabbi Feldman said it's arrogance to then argue, right? That's their that was his presentation of the idea of Das Torah. Okay, the question is how far to take that, but fine. Either Rabbi Yochanan, lo kasha, hadidei, hadarabe. And what about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan is going to obviously have to address the problem that Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself in regards to lav shein bo maisa, whether you get malchus. So he says, no, it's not a contradiction. One time Rabbi Yehuda was expressing his own opinion, the other time he was expressing the opinion of his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds lav shein bo maisa, you do get malchus on it. When he says, ein lokin alav, that was b'shem Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That was in the name of his Rebbe. And Rabbi Yochanan will say, and I paskin like the Rebbe, that lav shein bo maisa ein lokin alav, I'll paskin like Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe. Tan hasam, hanotel emal abanim. What if a person takes the mother with the mother bird with the little baby birds right there? Notel emal abanim, basically, did not do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Loka Veinu Mishaleach. Rabbi Yehuda says, you get Malkus, there's nothing to do anymore. You can't go and be Mishaleach and fix it. You've already violated the Aveira, you get Malkus. V'cham Rama Mishaleach Veinu Loka. The Chum say, no, now send away the mother bird, that will fix the problem, La Venita Klase, and then you're not going to get Malkus. Zeklal. Because any los asay where you have a kumba asay, you're not going to get malchus. What are they arguing about? So Rashi explains they're not arguing about whether a lavanita klasay you get malchus or don't. It's obvious lavanita klasay you don't get malchus. They're arguing whether this is in fact a lavanita klasay. When it says shalach that you're supposed to send away the mother bird, is it meikara mashma? Is it only initially, but there's no further mitzvah of sending away the mother bird once you didn't do it initially? Or is it, no, an ongoing thing that you always have the mitzvah to go and send it, even though you haven't sent it originally? That's what it's really about. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ein lanu elazos va'odacheres. So Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, we keep on making a big deal out of this principle of lava nitaklasei, that you don't get malchus, but and the idea that if you don't do the asei, then you're going to get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan says there's only actually two examples where you could not do the asay that fixes the lav and get malchus because of it. Because we had a discussion yesterday. Kimu v'lo kimu, bitlu v'lo bitlu. There's something you can do that says definitively that this asay that's supposed to fix the lav is not going to be done by me, and mele I'm going to get malchus. Kimu v'lo kimu holds that we take the guy to Beis Din and say, okay, here's your chance. Do the assay to fix the problem, to fix the los assay. And the guy says, no, I'm not doing it. Then we give him Malkus right there. Even though he has the potential to still do the mitzvah say later, we give him one chance in Beis Din and he decides not to do it. He decides not to take that chance, he's going to get Malkus. Bitvlo bitvlo is not that we give him one chance. He has his whole life to be able to do that mitzvah say. Until he gets to a point where he makes it impossible to do the mitzvah saseh. He totally destroys any chance of doing the mitzvah saseh. He's supposed to send away the mother bird, he shoots the mother bird, right? He kills the mother bird. So then he's not going to have any chance to do the mitzvah saseh later on. Only once he gets to that point are we going to say that he's going to get malchus for the lo saseh. So he says, if you actually think of examples where you're going to get malchus for a lav anita klas A, there are really only two. There's shiloh hakan and only one other. Some of the rabbis are hechas. So rabbis says, okay, what's the one other? You can't just say a vague statement like that. What's the other one? So he says, go search, find it. You'll find it. Nafak dak v'yashkach. So he went and he chazed over all of his learning and said, I came up with a case. Titania, we have a braisa. Onus shegireishas im Yisrael who machs yirvein aloka. A man is ma'anes a woman, and we know that halach is lo siyel isha. He's supposed to stay married to her forever after he's ma'anes her. So if he's a Yisrael, he's allowed to if he was megarish, he's allowed to remarry her, and then he's not going to get malchus for divorcing her because he fixed the problem. He did the assay, and that fixes the love. But if he's a kohen loka vein amach, so he's going to get malchus, and he can't remarry her because he's not allowed to marry a grusha. So he's going to get the malchus. Says, wait a second. That only works. These two examples of getting malchus for lav anita klaseh, shiluach hakan, and being machzi, and a man divorcing his rape victim, only works if you hold kimu v'lo kimu. That we get the malchus when you give him the opportunity to do the assay, and he turns down the chance. But if you hold bitlu v'lo bitlu, bishlam gabi shiluach hakan mishkachasla. So I understand how you can take away the possibility of ever doing the mitzvah saseh by shluach hakan, like we just said, by killing the mother bird. But how does one take away the possibility if a man is a Yisrael and he divorced the woman who he raped? How does he take away the possibility of remarrying her? What do you do to remove the possibility? So what's the classic? Want to say the same thing about the bird? You kill her, right? So ida katla kam lebidrav minei. No, you wouldn't get malchus if you kill her, though, because if you kill her, you chayv misa. So then we would say, come lebed rabbinei, you wouldn't get the malchus. We're trying to come up with an example where you can get malchus for a lav anita klas A because you took away the possibility of ever doing that assay. So if you killed her, then it's come lebed rabbinei. It says Tosfos on the top, so why don't you just say she died? You know, so you didn't kill her, she died. So Tosfos says, no, if she dies, then you weren't mevatelit. You're only going to get malchus when you're mevatel the chance to do the mitzvah saseh again. But if the chance just becomes batel me'elav, it becomes batel on its own, then you're not going to get malchus. That needs a little bit of hesber. Why is that so? Right? We've been explaining the whole time, based on Rashi, we've been explaining the whole time that the way lav anita klaseh works is that when you do a lo saseh, you really deserve malchus. Elamai, when the Torah gives you a mitzvah saseh that could fix it, the Torah says, okay, you have two ways to fix this. You can fix this by getting malchus, or you can fix this by doing the assay. Once you're not going to do the assay, then you need to fix it by getting malchus. Right? Yatos is saying, over here, the chance for the assay went away indefinitely, went away forever, when the woman dies. You're still not going to get malchus. You don't have to fix it through malchus. Because you didn't take away the chance. You didn't remove the chance. So you need to be masbir. Is that not exactly that you get the malchus right away for the lav? You get the malchus for being mevatel the chance of doing the assay. That's what the malchus is really for. It's not a default malchus for the lav. Says Tosfos in Tamar, Dil mari dekatla mikol makom lav ekam lebidrabin edemari shargu b'shogeg. Maybe you killed the b'shogeg, so you were mevatel it, but you know, there's no kam lebidrabin ed, because you're not going to get an onesh misa. So Tosfos says, no, imkein ainu kumo mesim e'elah, kim deharga shalob b'mskavein. No, that when you kill her shalob b'kavana, that's like she dies on her own. That's not called that you were mevatel it. If you didn't have any kavana, to mevatel it. Tosfos quotes, kach hiksha mashiach v'tirates. He keeps on quoting Mashiach. It's not that there was any, he found another false messiah, or anything like that. When he says, Tosfos throughout this mesechta, I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but Tosfos throughout the mesechta always quotes, Mashiach is Mori Sheyichya. That's Mashiach. I forgot who it is. One of the Rebbeim of Tosos, one of the Balei Tosos. So it's a cute nickname to call him Mashiach, or whatever it is. Okay, so what's the example of a case where you're going to get Malkus for Lav Nita Klas A? Some Rav Simi Mechazna Kigon Shekibel La Kiddushin Me'acher. Now, you know how you can make it that you'll never be able to remarry her? If you're Mekabel Kiddushin on her behalf from somebody else. So now she's ready, you're allowed to be Machzor Grushaso if you're Yisrael, but not if she's already married to somebody else in between. So if you're Mekabel Kiddushin for her from somebody else, so you're not going to get punished for that. But now you're going to get Malkus for the original osase of divorcing her. So that's the case. So says Gemara, Amarav, wait a second. Isha visa shliach, if she made you a shliach to be mekabel kiddushin on her behalf, ika mevatale. You weren't mevatale, she was mevatale. You're just an extension of her. Ilosha visa shliach, if she did not make you a shliach, kol kaminei v'lo klumi. Do you have the right to do that? You don't have the right to just be mekabel kiddushin. She's not interested in the kabbalah's kiddushin, and therefore your act was worthless. Being mekabel kiddushin on her behalf didn't mean anything because you weren't authorized to do so. So one of the mefarshim in the back, the Paras Yosef, says, really? But don't we have a rule? Gemara Maseches Basra, Daf Mem Zayin, talks about what if you have the following very romantic young man. He wants to marry a woman. Problem is the woman's not so interested in him. So he sets a trap for her. She walks by a certain tree and there's a trap, and he pulls the string and hangs her up by her feet on the tree. And she says, let me down. He says, I'll let you down if you're Makabal Kiddushin for me. Harei HaMukadash Asli B'tabazu Kadash Moshe V'Yisrael. And until you're Makabal, I'm not letting you down. So she says, fine, I'm a Kabbal, whatever you want, till you have a Kaddish. So the Gemara says, Kiddush of Kiddushin, that according to one day in the Gemara, it works, that it's a valid Kiddushin. So since when do you really need her consent for Kiddushin? Right? He's the one that, why don't you say that's the case? He was till you have a Kaddish, me'acher, he was the Shliach, to be till you have a Kaddish on someone else's behalf. That's what the Paras Yosef says. So he says, no, but still she needs to say Rotzani. So if she's saying Rotzani, she's the one that's doing it. He's not the one that's doing it. That's one of the examples in Shas where the Gemara says that Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddushin Minei. That Midaraisa would be a good Kiddushin, but the Gemara says, Who else is Shlok Hogan? Lefichos Nimosh Shlok Hogan. He did something that's not so nice, because that's not the way you're supposed to get married, and therefore we do with him something that's not so nice, we make his Kiddushin go away. Right? That's the that's one of the types of Hafkaz Kiddushin that you have in Shas. But anyway, so the case of him being Makabal Kiddushin from somebody else, L'chora doesn't work. So, Elam Rav Simon Arda Kigon Sheidira Berabin. No, you know what the case is? The guy divorced the woman that he had raped, and then he took a neder that he's not allowed to be married, that she can't get any hana from him, he can't get any hana from her, in a way that they can't be married to each other. So the neder is going to be binding. Melech's going to be also for him to remarry her. So now he's going to go and get Malkus for the los hase that he did. Rashi says, what's the case? He must have found matzah ba'avon, shasuralo. He found that there's some sort of avera that she did that makes her usher to him, and therefore he took a neder that she should be usher to him. Now, says Tosos, that doesn't make any sense. If he found some sort of avera, then he doesn't have a mitzvah l'kaima. If there's some sort of iser for him to be married to her, then he doesn't have in the first place a mitzvah to keep her. Right? You only have losi alisha when there's no iser bedavar. So it must be hidir beloshim avon, Tosa says. It must be that he just stamped a neder against her without any avera. He just and that's the way he's mevatel the chance of ever doing a mitzvah sasei. So those are the two examples of a person who gets malchus for lav nita klasei. Says mar hanich l'mandiyam neder shu debrab. But that only takes away the chance of ever being able to remarry her if you hold that in neder shuda barabim you can never get rid of. But if you hold that you could do afara and you could uproot a neder shuda barabim, so then you haven't taken away the chance of being able to marry her again. So demidra Michael Meir, demidra al das rabim, that you took a neder al das rabim. Damra Meir hilchsa neder shuda barabim yesh la afara al das rabim ein la afara. That if you take a neder birabim in a group, then you can do afara on it. You could be made for the neder, but al das rabim, on the das of the rabim, you can't do afara. So that's a case where you can never remarry her. So frankly, but still, there are no other examples of a lav nitak asay where you can get rid of the chance of ever doing the asay and therefore get malchus. V'su leka v'ha'iko gezel. What about stealing? Rachman amal sigzol v'heshev hazgzela. Torah says alos asay not to steal and a mitzvah asay to fix it by returning it. Mashkon, Rachman Amar L'Sov, Al-Beisal Avot, Avotah, Ashev Tashivlo. What about a Mashkon where it says that you can't go into someone's house to take a Mashkon forcefully, you should return it. And you can apply both of those cases to kimu v'lo kimu or bitlu v'lo bitlu. You can take away the chance of ever doing that mitzvah. Say, how? You destroy the item. You destroy the item. You can't return it. So you have exactly those. What about those cases? Why don't you get Malkus over there? Says Gemara, no. Hasam kibin dechayv b'tashlumin ein loka mishalim. Because over there, whenever you destroy the item, now you're going to be chayv b'tashlumin. So you can't get Malkus for the original stealing if you're going to be chayv money for the stealing. So you can't get Malkus and tashlumin, and that's why you're not going to get Malkus in those cases. Mask for Rabbi Zeira, he ika mashkona shal ger, umeis hager. What about a case where you take a mashkon of a ger and the ger dies? So there's no one to pay it back to. It becomes hefker. So then there's not going to be any monetary payment. All there's going to be is malchus. So says Gemara, no, that's also a chiv tashlumin. It's just you have no one to pay it to. Hasam gaver bar tashlumin hu v'shibud diger hu dekapaka. The guy is someone that is a bar tashlumin. You do have to pay. It's just you have no one to pay it to. Vayika peya. What about peya? Drachmana melosachala paas. The pasuk says in the Torah that when you kutzuchem is ksir artzuchem, that when you harvest your field, losachala paas sadcha liktsar veleket ksircha losalakeit, that you're not allowed to harvest also the corner of your field. You have to leave that for you're not allowed to harvest it. And then the pasuk follows it up by saying la ani velager tazovas amani hashem lokechem, that you have to go and leave it for the ani and the ger, which is a mitzvah saseh. You find a case where you can make sure that you no longer have the ability to leave it for the ani. You torch you harvest it, and that's it, and it's gone. And now you don't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah saseh of leaving it there. So where you torch it, you destroy it, where it's not going to have any chance. The tanan mitzvah peya lahafresh min hakama. The mitzvah of peya is to be mafresh when the stalks are standing, when the wheat is standing. If you haven't done that, so you should be mafresh when it's piled up, even though it's already been harvested. If you haven't been mafresh from the umrin, so you're mafresh when it's in the silo. Ad shlo mirach, until when it's in a mound, until it's been smoothed out. Mircha ma'aser v'nosin lo. Once it's already mircha, once you've already smoothed it out, then ma'aser v'nosin lo. Then you take regular maestros and you give it. Rabbi Shmuel damar af mafresh mini isa. So the Gemara says, no, maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that even later you still have a chance to take off peya, that you could even be mafresh peya from the Isa. So there's no point where you're mevatel the chance to take off peya, because you could always be mafresh from the Isa. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's still a chance where you can take away the opportunity to ever do peya. You ate it. Once you eat it, it's gone. Right, like I said before, what if you burn it? Same thing as eating it. You destroy it. You take it out of this world. Now there's no chance to do the mitzvah of peah anymore. Ella zosvara cheresaha. So the Gemara says, that's a very good point. It must be that the second example of a lavanita klase that you get malchus for is actually the case of peah. What about the case that we said of being megaresh, a woman that you raped? Isn't that the second case? What are we going to do with that case? Avlonis lo. No, in that case, when a man rapes a woman, and he's megarisher, he's never going to get malchus for that. Because the hechamrin al das rabim in la'afara, when do we say that a neder that was taken al das rabim, you can't be mefer? That's only the dvar harashus. That's only when it comes to dvar harashus, of the dvar mitzvah yesh la'afara. But if you took a neder that stops you from doing a mitzvah, so then even if it's al das rabim, you could be mefer for that neder. So there's no way that you can divorce a woman that you raped and take away the possibility, the chance, bitlu, take away the chance of ever remarrying her. There's no way that could be a valid case. So the two cases of lavanita klase that you actually can get malchus for, the zos va'od acheres, are right, what was the first one again? Notale malbanim of shiluach hakan, and the second one was peah. Those are the only two examples. Kihada, and just to illustrate the idea of a neder that was done al das rabim, but when it comes to dvar mitzvah, it does have hafara. Kihada hu mikri dardiki, like a teacher of young children, dava pasha biyanuki, that was negligent with the children. What does it mean he was negligent with the children? Rashi says, maka osam yosam idai. He was beating them up. He was hitting them more than necessary. Right? The assumption is that a Rebbe is allowed to hit Talmidim to a certain point. All the modern day poskim say that halacha has changed, because nowadays it would just, like Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg writes in his book on Chinuch, he doesn't write, they published a book of the question answer sessions they had with him at the Torah Masorah conventions about Chinuch. So he said the first yisod you need to know about Chinuch is that it used to be that a parent, that a child had to listen to a parent. Now parents have to realize that the kid doesn't have to listen. The kid doesn't feel like he has to listen. So it changes all the rules. He said, for instance, someone asked him, you have only a certain amount of time. Should you learn an equal amount of time with your daughters and your sons, or should you learn more with your sons than with your daughters? He said, la halacha, technically, you should be learning with your sons more than your daughters. But he said that you can't do that. You have to spend equal time, because all you have is the relationship. You don't have any... Well, you can say, I'll throw you out of the house. You're not throwing them out of the house, and they know you're not throwing them out of the house. It's not they feel no need to listen. It's a whole dynamic of the relationship change. It used to be a Rebbe could hit a kid, and the kid wouldn't get up and smack the Rebbe right back in the face. Now if the Rebbe hits a kid, the kid will deck him. Right? It's just not... It's not going to work. So anyway, but Yosef Midai, even back in the Zman of Gemara, Yosef Midai wasn't acceptable for the Rebbe to always be beating up on the kids. So Adrei Rav Acha took a neder, this guy shouldn't be working in yeshivas anymore. Vahadrei Ravina d'loshtachach d'dayikav asei. Ravina hired him in his yeshiva because he was the best Rebbe ever. He was fantastic. The kids knew their stuff really well from this Rebbe. So he undid the neder. Why is he allowed to undo the neder? It was a neder. Dan al das rabim. Hey, you're allowed to undo it for Dvar Mitzvah. Since it was for Dvar Mitzvah, he's allowed to undo the neder. V'ochel nevel shtreifel shkatzim r'masim. The Mishnah said that a person eats nevel shtreifel shkatzim r'masim, you get malchus for. Amrav Yehuda, Haiman da achol binisa de bekarva. If a person eats a certain type of tola'as, a certain type of worm, binisa normally means a fish, but over here Rashi says it means a tola'as, a worm that's found in cabbage. Malkinu le mishum sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. He gets malkus for sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. Because even though it's a fish type of worm, it's found in cabbage. So it's sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. Huda achol binisa de bekarva, midnagdi Rav Yehuda. In fact, someone once ate such a worm, and Rav Yehuda gave him malkus. Amar Abaye, achal putisa loka arba'a. If a person eats a sheretz hamayim, a person eats a putisa, which is a type of sheretz from the water, he gets four malkias. He gets four separate lashes, because he violated four different losases. Rashi goes through what the four losases are. Nimala, if he eats a bug, an ant, loka chamesh, he gets five malkias. Mishum sheretz ha-sheretz ala'aretz. The four that we mentioned before, that Rashi enumerates when you would eat a sheretz of the mayim, plus one extra one for sheretz ha-sheretz ala'aretz. Sira, if he eats a hornet, lokashesh, he can get five malchios. So if you want to know how you can do many averos all in one shot, so you eat a hornet, you get six malchios. Mishum sheret ta'of, in addition to the other five that we mentioned, also sheret ta'of. Once we're discussing people who do disgusting things like eating shratim is bal teshaktu, right? That's what the Torah says, lo teshaktu, in the context of eating shratim. That eating shratim is a violation of lo teshaktu. Lo teshaktu is nafsho sechem. But if a person, there are other ways to do disgusting things that are also a violation of lo teshaktu. For instance, a person has to go to the bathroom and he holds it in. That's a violation of lo teshaktu. If a person drinks from the kli that they use for bloodletting, so it's a kli that they use for blood all the time, and he drinks a glass of water out of that kli, that's also lo teshaktu. Well, let's stop there for a second. So the issue of lo teshaktu over here in these contexts, it's a major machlokes rishonim, whether it's nisa d'oraisa or nisa d'rabbanan. The Taz in Yoreday actually writes that it's nisa d'oraisa to be masha nekava, for a person to hold himself in. But the Rambam writes that all these other examples of lo teshaktu, other than actually eating shratzim, are all only d'rabbanan. There are many other examples, right? The Rambam talks about someone who drinks animal urine or human urine. You could use your imagination. I mean, there are plenty of things that are disgusting in the world that a person could theoretically do. That would all be lo teshaktu, but it would only be lo teshaktu mid'rabbanan. Major nafkamina if it's d'rabbanan d'oraisa. Sometimes we paskin that it's d'rabbanan. Major nafkamina if it's d'rabbanan d'oraisa, for dinim, for yisrum d'rabbanan, we're makel for kavod abrios. So someone once asked me, what if you're driving somewhere far away and you really have to go to the bathroom, and the only place to go to the bathroom is this gas station, and you take one look at the bathroom and it's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen, and you just can't bring yourself, so it's a violation of lo teshaktu. If it were nisa d'oraisa, get over it, try to clean it up the best you can and use it. But if it's nisa d'rabbanan, kavod abrios is docha nisa d'rabbanan. If you feel it's a pagam and you're kavod abrios to have to use such a bathroom, then you wouldn't have to do it. Okay, a lot enough gemina. It's a fascinating topic. So let's get to the two dots. Amarava, Amarava Baravuna, Resek Tisha Namalam. If a person crushes up up 9 bugs, the heavy echad chai v'shlim in l'kazayis, and then he takes one live bug and he adds it to the mix, and that makes it a full ashir kazayis by adding the full live bug. Tosfos points out it doesn't really mean a live bug; it just means a complete bug, right? It can't be, but it's not talking about a live bug because we're going to say that you get malchus for eating nevela. If it's alive, it can't be a nevela. So it just means a beria, a complete bug. So lokevav, you get 5 malchios. Hey mishum beria, 5 malchios for eating the one bug that was complete, that's a beria, ve'echa mishum kazayis nevela. Plus, you get a separate malchus for eating a kazayis nevela. Rava am Rabbi Yochanan, afilu shnayim v'hu. It doesn't have to be 9 bugs plus this one beria. It could be 2 bugs plus this one beria. Rav Yosef amar, afilu echad v'hu. It could be 1 other bug plus this one beria. It's all the same thing. V'lo pligi habarav v'yabazutri. They're not arguing. It's just a question of how big the other bugs are. As long as it's enough to be mitzarif to make a full kazayis, then you're going to get a separate malchus for eating a kazayis of a nevela. Right? That's the concept of beria. Beria is that normally you have a sheer kazayis. It's not called achila until you eat a kazayis. But when you eat a beria, the beria in its own right is considered to be the full sheer, even though it's not a full kazayis, because it's a complete unit of something. Right? That's why we have a din of beria. Can't be batal either. You can't be mevatal beria in a tarovis. That's what the star K is mekel with the bugs in the in chopped broccoli. They give hashkacha on chopped broccoli. Why? Because they know how to check chopped broccoli for bugs? No. But they assume that if they chop up the broccoli enough, that the bugs that are in there are going to get crushed also. And mele, they're not going to be a beria. And if they're not a beria, then they're less than a kazayis, and you're not going to have to worry about it. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from the 2 dots tomorrow.